Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's Do the Right Thing! Welcome to the podcast panel show that wants to do the right thing in any situation. For example, what is the right way to make a dog come? Not in a rude way. Call its name and reward it with a smelly biscuit. A method that also works on my husband. In a rude way.
Is there going to be a lot of this?
Oh, that's my husband.
Hang on. That is my husband. Oh, that, over there. Wow. We wrote our own vows. That's mine now.
I'm Danielle Ward, and with me trying to do the right thing today, like an iron fist in a dairy-free glove, it's Michael Legg. And with him, she starred in Russell T. Davis's hit shows Cucumber and Banana, but not the spin-off Oily Mop Handle. It's Bethany Black. And on my right, she's like a slutty Mary Poppins. It's Margaret Cavon Smith. And with her, the third most popular podcaster in his family behind his wife and dog, it's David Reed. As night follows day follows Negroni follows hangover, it's time for round one.
The importance of being right.
Just like a normal man whose Twitter handle is at Michael Jackson, not the pedo, I've run into some trouble online. In this round, I'm going to give each team a scenario and they're going to tell me what the right thing to do is according to Uncle Mick and antivirus software. Michael and Bethany, you've been training for years. You are competing at the peak of human endurance and experience. That's right, it's the mass catering challenge on MasterChef. And you've got to cobble together some slop for the HR team at Halfords. Cooking doesn't get much tougher than this. Tell that to the head chef of ISIS. After your three-bin chili goes down a treat, you and Greg Wallace decide to go on holiday together. And holiday you do, all the way to Florida. As you float on your best Lilo, your hand relaxing in the ocean, you touch something soft. You give it a little stroke. Oh, it's a jellyfish! So what is the right thing to do if you encounter a jellyfish, according to PanamaJack.com? Michael, you're a vegan.
Yes, and the thing is, jellyfish do eat a lot of plankton and other very small sea creatures, so I would obviously hand it a leaflet about how that is quite cruel. Actually!
As a vegan, are you allowed to swim in the sea?
No. I'm not allowed to climb trees. And I found out I'm not allowed to fly. That hurt.
Bethany, are you a fan of a beach holiday?
No, as a goth. As a goth, the beach is probably the last place you will ever find me.
This is a bit like a goth beach inside
this is,
here.
This is as close to being at the beach as I like. Under nice, bright, shining lights in the dark where I can't see anything.
Have you ever been stung by anything?
Yes, I've been stung by a jellyfish when I was a kid on holiday.
Where were you on holiday?
It was only in Cornwall. Yeah.
So it was a good local British jellyfish.
Yeah, it was a good local good. British. None of these Portuguese man-o-wars.
Sooner we're out of Europe, the better. Fucking Belgian jellyfish coming over here.
Where did it sting you?
On the inside of my thigh. Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know, yeah. Oh. Kinky.
Michael, have you ever encountered a jellyfish?
I've encountered them. What are you trying to say? I mean, I'm scared of the sea.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I'm terrified of the sea.
How come?
Because my parents took me to see Jaws when I was six.
Yeah. Same thing.
I'm just terrified
so
of the sea.
So you can't swim in open water?
I can have a bath. Even a really big one. But but absolutely. I was in Florida once, and I've been around. I was in Florida once, and a friend of mine managed to convince me to get into a rowing boat. I didn't want to. And they didn't say to me that there were dolphins near a pond. No, of course. Yeah, exactly. All I saw was a fucking dorsal fin, and I shat myself. Honestly, I was rowing like fuck to get back. If you think me sitting down is pathetic, just see me row. And then he said, "Now calm down. There are only dolphins." I was like, "No, it'll be that one fucking dolphin that hates humanity."
But also, dolphins can kick the shit out of sharks as well, can't they?
I think you're getting dolphins and the jets mixed up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Margaret and David.
Hello.
Ever seen a jellyfish in real life?
Yes.
Do you like the sea?
I love the sea. I'm a qualified rescue diver.
Really?
Yes. You're my wife. How are you not?
Hey, this was in your vows, guys. Do you not remember?
I promised to float nearby.
I'm so used to...
Until the tide takes us.
So used to feigning interest in the guests.
Sure. It's a muscle memory.
Oh, tell me more.
Yeah. I actually went on a dive where there was a great white shark meters away from us. But I only found out when we got back on the boat and everyone else told us. Me and my dad were looking at a rock. Quite hard to get people's attention when you're underwater, you see. So it's,
do you not flap around?
Doesn't help. If you're not looking at the flapping person, not a lot you can do about that.
Can you make noises underwater?
You can wrap your knife on your tank. That'll make a ting-ting noise that'll travel. It's how you do speeches underwater. It's how you get everyone's attention. Ting,
ting, ting, ting, ting. Yeah, I remember from your wedding. Great.
Yeah. I'd just like to say, we're all ascending. I am out of air.
Margaret, you ever met a jellyfish?
I've read a lot of books. No, I was thinking this. I've actually got to the point where I can't remember. I think I've read a really good description of being stung by a jellyfish, and that, to me,
that's
seems
enough.
Like the same.
That was an episode of Friends, thing. Wasn't it?
So, Bethany, how did you treat your jellyfish sting, seeing as you have experience of this?
I remembered that you're supposed to pee on it. Which I don't think it actually did
no,
anything.
No, I think it's a
did
myth.
You do that,
yeah,
though?
It is. I did do that. And
but did you do that naturally? Because it was on your inner thigh.
In my inner thigh.
In
and it was
yeah.
a lot easier to do that than going around like some sort of deranged water sports fan going, oh, I've been stung in the mouth and face.
I think angling it onto your thigh would be really hard. I've got quite a jet going. It'd just be straight down the middle.
You want to go before you're desperate, then.
Just sort of lean over onto one leg and yeah, lie on your side.
Michael, how would you treat a jellyfish sting?
I've never experienced one. I've only ever been stung by one animal, and it was a bee.
Did you piss on the bee?
No, I'm not kidding you. That only happened about 3 years ago. I got to the age of 26 without being stung by a bee. It hurt, and I was so excited. And went, this is amazing. I've killed a bee.
Did you feel... It's
horrible.
Like, that was
horrible.
Like your big... That was,
I got such a boner over it. I know like what you guys are into now.
Felt like a big game hunter.
Yeah, absolutely. It was my trophy bee. Yeah.
You get a photo taken.
Yeah, exactly.
With your foot
the
up on
amount
it.
Of abuse I got from Ricky Gervais because of that photo of me and a bee.
Now, Margaret, as a Catholic, you're not going to let anybody piss on you.
Is that the Catholic rule? I can't remember.
It's one of them, right?
No, if anyone
you'd,
wants to
actually,
piss on me.
You'd enjoy the pain. Oh, you'd prefer the...
Yes, I feel
God
I deserved it.
Punishment.
Yeah. Especially, you know, as a... I'm a vegetarian, not a vegan, but... You know, I feel like, yeah, they got one back on me and I'd give myself a... I was going to say a penguin. I've never eaten a real penguin.
I'm vegetarian as well, and I was vegan for a long time, which I'm not anymore, so that doesn't count. Which means everyone fucking hates me. It's fine. But as a result of that, I now have reached the point where I'm like, I don't trust anything that's been in the water. I don't trust anything that's been in the sea. I'm tempted to go out there and start eating fish or anything that's aquatic because they're bastards, including the bottom half of ducks. I don't trust any of it.
That must be a delicacy somewhere.
Yeah, the bottom half of
the
a duck.
The bottom half of a duck. David Reed, would you...
You're saying that you're eating things because you don't trust them.
Pretty much it.
Logic
I don't
that.
Trust carrots, I don't trust peanuts.
David Reed, would you piss on Margaret if she'd been stung?
Margaret, have you been stung?
This sounds like the most awkward setup to a threesome I have ever heard.
Look, when Monica
so I don't
gets
want him to piss
when,
on me.
When she stands on a jellyfish, and she gets them. Now, is it Joey or Chandler pisses on her?
Chandler.
They both want to, and Joey can't go, so you're correct.
Thank you. Mansplaining friends yes. to me. Hey.
Yeah.
Mate.
That's the only information I have on this.
I know, you can't live your life by friends, I keep telling you.
When you do scuba diving, do they not teach you how to
No,
avoid
you
jellyfish?
Are head to toe in neoprene. Nothing's going to sting you.
At the neck?
It goes
Vampire
up to the neck.
Jellyfish.
It's only your face, and then you've got a mask on that and a regulator. Nothing's getting through.
Ears?
A mask! You've got the hood up.
It's like this, a balaclava with ear holes.
This bit.
That bit, just above your mask, before the hood, yeah. is your vulnerable spot.
I can't piss on that. It's just not the right angle.
The sharks know it. They go straight for it.
Yummy forehead.
I went dry suit diving, which is like normal open water diving, except you are in a dry suit.
How's that?
You can wear your own clothes underneath it.
Oh, like a suit and tie?
It's the one James Bond takes off and he's in his tux, and that would
I
happen.
I thought that was pretend. So
it's like non-uniform scuba diving.
Well, it
you
would
bring
be
50
more crumples
p, and you're allowed to bring your own clothes.
But it's not as sexy as James Bond makes it out, because you've got the seal around your neck and then everything else is covered. But that basically means you've got this weird air bubble inside your clothes that you have to try and move around. And the biggest problem is that if you look at something too far down, the air bubble rushes to your feet and then you rocket to the surface. And they don't have that in Bond.
No.
Sounds brilliant.
But my brother, who scuba dived with me, he forgot he was dry suit diving, so pissed his own clothes.
Please tell me you were on your way to a ball.
Yeah, he pissed his own tux. That's what he did.
Ben, is anybody close?
Well, I've given out a couple of points here. According to PanamaJack.com, point for David Reed here for being head-to-toe in neoprene. Jellyfish tentacles have to contact skin directly to release their poison, so wearing a wetsuit will help prevent stings. If you see a jellyfish, be careful of getting close. Even beached and dying ones can sting you. That seemingly dead sack of air half buried in the sand might look harmless, but it's not. If you see a jellyfish in the water, stay cool. Swim calmly away towards the shore. If that's not possible, tread water and hope the jellyfish passes you by. Most jellyfish only sting when they're provoked.
So I think that vegan pamphlet might provoke.
Yeah.
I think you should take away a
or
point.
Or make them really think doesn't... about their choices.
Yeah. I mean, gamesmanship, Margaret. I'm tempted to take a point off you, but anyway.
Oh, I haven't earned anything yet.
Are we a team?
Your team
yes!
has.
Don't take my point away because of Margaret.
I won't, just teach her to be better.
So, friends from the beginning.
If someone is stung, get the victim out of the water as soon as possible without touching the affected area. Do not let them scratch. Wash the sting site with warm salt water to help stop the stinging. Urinating on a sting is not an effective treatment, so I'm going to give Bethany a point for that because she said it first. Next, use something sturdy, like an angled credit card, tweezers, or even a stick to scrape gently across the skin to detach any stuck tentacles. Call for help as soon as possible if the area affected by the sting is more than half an arm or half a leg, or if the victim displays signs of severe allergic reaction. Also, if you suspect the sting is from a box jellyfish. And that's it.
Ironically, I bet Sting does love being pissed on. Hey, he loves it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Margaret and David, tired of the fast pace of life and the ents business. You set up your own cleaning company, toilets, sinks, floors. You will literally clean anything. After a long day cleaning a police station, because it really was a dirty protest, you relax with a cup of rhubarb and a copy of Woman's Own, except Detective Inspector Tommy Salami needs your help. There's a perp who has hidden Amanda Holden in a well, and unless you find out her location, David Walliams will never stop tweeting about how they were best friends when she inevitably dies. So what is the right way to interrogate someone according to scientificamerican.com? Have you ever had to interrogate someone? A lover, perhaps?
Do I look like I've interrogated
Didn't
a
you
lover?
And your husband write your own questions?
All right, then. The Northern Irish one. Have you ever had to interrogate somebody?
Yep. That is the correct way to interrogate someone. You ask them if they were in Birmingham or Guildford, and when they say no, you fucking believe them. coming home. It's coming.
Michael, have you ever been, you know, questioned about bomb stuff?
Not about bomb stuff, but just existing.
Really? You know, being Northern Irish?
Yeah. You know the Troubles?
Yeah.
That's what the Troubles were. It was a really big, long security bag check. Constantly.
Did anybody have a good technique?
Well, I didn't see them afterwards, if that's what you're asking.
So there was no one you thought, that's impressive. I'm
good.
Yeah.
Really good, soft-handed soldier.
When my mum used to interrogate me and my sisters, I'd never done anything, not because I'm particularly good, but because I'm scared, of everything. And so I just used to own up immediately, and it was never me.
Well, even to things that you hadn't done?
Oh, I'd never done it, and my mum would get really annoyed. And then there was one time that I had eaten half a pepperami and put it back in the fridge. And when she asked and she said, who has done this? I said, it was me. And she's like, oh, no, really? Who has done this? And I was like, fuck, what happens now? Because they are never going to confess to something they haven't done.
I'm just impressed with the level of self-control to put half a pepperami back in the fridge.
I think it was actually one and a half that I'd eaten.
But I'm exactly the same. I'm such a people pleaser that if anyone starts to interrogate me, I will admit to having done everything and I will apologise immediately.
It's probably not a good thing to admit this in public, is it?
So if any of you want to pin a crime on me...
Or me, go ahead.
Hmm. Have you ever been in trouble with the police?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah, I had quite a youth. I used to get picked up by the police quite frequently for stuff I hadn't done. I was one of those kids that just looked like they were trouble. Because I am the unluckiest person you'll ever meet. I once, drunk, coming home from a night out in town when I was about 17, fell asleep in the street just outside a house. Somebody phoned the police and it turned out the car that I'd fallen asleep next to had been stolen. And they'd assumed that I'd stolen it. And then been so shit at hiding that fact that I'd drunkenly stolen a car and then gone, oh no, I'm not going to sleep in the car. I'm going to get out and go to sleep on the pavement next to the car that I've stolen because that looks more comfortable in the fucking rain. Later on in life, I worked as an audio typist for the police in the last days of my active drug addiction. And that was always interesting, going in on a Monday morning and all the police dogs barking at me. And like, I can remember one of the dog handlers going, oh, have you got chocolate in your pocket or something? And I was like, yeah, something like that. And I can remember being sat at my desk in my office and having to make a phone call. And I was going through my wallet and taking stuff out and put a credit card in my mouth whilst I was talking to someone and suddenly felt the whole bottom half of my face go numb. Whilst I was sat in a police station typing up witness statements.
You were high on credit card.
High on credit card cocaine. And
Mabel's palsy's back.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I was really enjoying typing. I was really, really enjoying it.
I bet Sting's been in trouble with the police.
Are you going to say this at the end of every question? Well, to sum up, I bet Sting hasn't been on Do the Right Thing. Good night, everybody.
David, your dad was a teacher.
He was a teacher.
Was he good at interrogating the little...
No, he was very popular, actually. Really? My dad was quite a popular teacher, I think. But I was interrogated. I had an epiphany about my own childhood only last year, where I was interrogated for biting a boy because we got into a fight that he started. He was an older boy. And the deputy head took me out of class after the boy said that was him, and it showed him the bite mark on his arm. And I was interrogated about biting a boy, which I hadn't done. It wasn't me. No one had bitten this boy. I was there. And it's only last year I worked out he bit himself.
Yeah. I was going to say, there.
He was an older boy who lost a fight with 4 6-year-olds and so bit himself so he could get them into trouble.
Now, I am no police officer, but if I was that deputy head, I'd have taken some Play-Doh dental impressions.
No, he took me out of class, mortifying at that age, and he sat me down and he said, last year we had a boy who was spitting. I was like, I don't know what this is about. And he said, so we shouldn't do that ever again. Still hadn't mentioned what it was that we were talking about. And that was the very moment that I lost all respect for authority.
Margaret, if you kidnapped Amanda Holden, where would you put her?
Oh, God. My first thought is, am I allowed to kill her?
I mean, if you can let her die of natural causes.
Oh,
that's all right,
you can,
isn't it?
Let her die. I'll be back in 15 minutes. You're allowed to die of natural causes.
Yeah. If you haven't by then.
By then, I'm afraid, my turn. Yeah.
Where would I put her? Do you know, I'm honestly thinking my flat's quite small. I don't know. I'd buy a big rabbit hutch.
Hey, that's a nice answer.
Brilliant.
Thanks.
At least that way criminal. A fox won't get her.
Oh, would that count as natural causes?
A fox?
I'd leave
a
her
fox
out.
Is pretty natural.
Yeah. I'd leave her out for the fox.
Yes.
No, hang on. Hang on just a fucking second. No one has been eaten and has been then considered to have died of natural causes. Never smoked a day in his life. Died of natural causes. Aww. By these wolves.
I love the idea of, oh, we just left her out for the foxes.
I like the idea that she wouldn't do anything. She would just stay there.
Oh, wow.
Sitting on my back wall.
The rabbits in the hutch going, whoa. Awkward, don't fancy it? Her chances.
Margaret
and David. The best idea of a murder I've got. I'm sorry.
Margaret and David, would you do good cop, bad cop to interrogate someone?
Mm. I genuinely heard good cock, bad cock. Would you do that?
Good cock, good bad cock, cock, bad cock. Margaret would come in with her good cock. Merely make the suspect happy. I'd come in with my terribly bad cock. And go, if you want Margaret to come back in, you better start squealing.
You're very convincing, weirdly.
Right. It's not my first time.
I don't know, does good cop, bad cop... The psychology works that you make bad things happen and then you want to go to the sort of parental figure who's being nice to you. I think that's a good idea. Right?
Good cop, bad cop.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
Or is it so cliched that everyone knows it now? So you'd have to do, like, good cop, weird cop?
I would try and get them to play charades, you know, and act out what they did and make them say...
By accident.
Yeah, so they'd just be guessing.
Oh, that's good. I think that's good.
Everyone draws things out of a hat and you just go, you've got to do Batman, you've got to do Pride and Prejudice, you've got to do that crime I did. Okay, what was it?
Ben, is anybody close?
Weirdly, yes. In the last...
Shards!
In the last 10 seconds, sort of, yes.
What? So this has never happened.
No, no. Don't get very excited. I'm going out on a limb so I can give someone points. But anyway... according to scientificamerican.com, firstly, build rapport. The target will open up more than if you act cold and accusatory. So Dave did say, do good cop, bad cop, and then don't do it. So I'll give you half a point for having said don't do it.
So do all things, but also don't do those things.
Yeah. So once, when Edward Geiselman, a professor of psychology, was working a case with the LAPD, the interviewee asked for a filet fish. Geiselman bought her one, and she started chatting as she ate. That sandwich changed everything, he says.
Good cod, bad cod.
I'm still getting my head around this. I think definitely a half point for Margaret and David here. Instead of asking direct questions, tell your target a story about what they did. So that is sort of saying, act out my crime.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying.
Anyway, by telling the target a story about what you think they did, this leads them to believe you already know what happened, and they will then supply details and corrections. People interrogated using this method tend to underestimate how much they're sharing. People being interrogated usually know they're under suspicion and have practiced their answers. Asking them something unexpected can cause them to stumble, enabling you to catch them in a lie. So half a point for getting them to do charades at that point, I think.
What's your favourite Beatles album? That sort of thing.
Because inconsistency is a fundamental aspect of the way memory works, truth tellers are more likely to add details and revise their stories over time, whereas liars tend to keep their stories the same. A technique to use that capitalises on this is reverse telling, asking them to recall events backwards rather than forwards in time. This has a double effect. For truth tellers, it makes recall easier. For liars, the task becomes harder and they become more likely to simplify the story or contradict themselves. So those are the two techniques they come up with. 3 half points to Margaret and David.
And at the end of that round, what are the scores, producer Ben?
Michael and Bethany have 1. Margaret and David have 2.5.
Yes.
know who my favourite people are?
Who are your favourite people, Margaret?
To me.
No. Have you ever given me any money? No, these are my favourite people. Ashley Narayanan. And I'm really sorry if I pronounced that wrong.
You said he was one of your favourite people.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
but that doesn't mean...
She only calls him Ashley, doesn't she? She never uses his surname.
Exactly.
Everybody knows she's... Oh, Ash is coming out. Yeah.
Gail Jones.
Oh,
brilliant.
Love Gail. Love Gail.
Glenn Ashcroft.
Whee!
Oh, Glenn.
And Ian Matthews.
Ians are never a peons. That's what I always
that's
say.
That's our motto. That yep. sounded like Europeans.
Ians are Europeans.
It's a confusing motto. If you want to be like those amazing people and give us some money to make more episodes, because we love making episodes, please go to comedy.co.uk/DTRT/donate.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And it doesn't, you don't even have to donate that much. You can even, a little tiny bit of donate is great.
Yeah, do you know what? It's the effort we like.
Yeah.
Although we do like large amounts of money as well. So if you have got large amounts of money, please give it to us. Thanks, Ian.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Like having to watch the last 5 minutes of Warren before Alan Partridge comes on. This round is agony. In this round, I'll be getting the panel to solve some problems for our audience. But before that, I'm going to whet their thought appetites with a letter sent to a real agony aunt. Margaret, would you read this, please?
Dear agony aunt, since graduating from college in 2013, I have been paying off my student loans. I pay the same amount every month. This past month, there was $10,000 credited to my account from the student loans company. I have no idea why this has happened, and I'm sure they've made an error. Do I have any obligation to inform the loan collector about this? For obvious reasons, I'm hesitant to get in touch with them. But I'm also worried that this could eventually come back to haunt me, plus interest. Should I inquire and hope the loan collector doesn't undo this surprising mistake?
No.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Michael, do you have a student loan debt?
Oh my God, you thought I was ever a student? Do you think I'd be doing this?
I'm
if
doing
I was
this.
Educated?
I'm doing this.
Yeah, but you didn't fucking pay attention, did you?
Do you have a student loan debt, Bethany?
Oh God, yes.
If you found that they'd given you £10,000.
If they did that, it's not like I can go and spend that on other things. That's just money that's been taken off one of the 2 degrees that I did due to following a girl to university. That's why I went to university twice. I've got 2 degrees.
You went to university twice?
Yeah, yeah.
So we've been to university.
Yeah, between our team has been to university. You can have one of my degrees if you want.
Sure.
Cool.
What's the crappiest one you've got?
Cultural studies.
Brilliant. See, here's the thing. When I was a young lad, growing up during the Troubles.
I can almost hear a penny whistle playing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Honestly, we were told by police all the time, if you find money in the street, bring it to the police station. How fucking begging is that from the police? If you find a wallet that's got money in it, will you bring it to the police? If you find things, will you bring it to the police station? I tell you, they were like that all the time. Until the time I found a bomb under my dad's car. Apparently, no interest.
Margaret, you would clearly tell them.
Only, as I say, it's about being scared rather than any sort of being good thing. I would lie
scared
awake
of Jesus.
At night, scared of the Jesus police.
Angry Jesus.
Angry Jesus. Oh.
Would you at least say, hey, listen, you've accidentally put 10 grand in my account. Shall we split it?
No, that's even worse. I suppose I might put it in a high interest account. Is that... Do you know what I mean?
Because then I couldn't spend it. Out for ages.
No, but I couldn't spend it because I would just be waiting for them to come and get me.
Waiting for the feds to raid your bank.
Yeah.
If you got credited accidentally in the UK by a government department, they would come down on you like a ton of fucking bricks. Yeah, so you'd be fucked. You
the other thing is, if that did happen and you had spent it all, you could always go and get yourself an IVA or declare bankruptcy or a debt relief order and get rid of it within a year. So you'd still have bought all of the stuff with it and got away with it.
Or donate it to a donkey sanctuary and then if you don't hear from them, become a donkey.
That's your answer to everything.
Well, it works.
I bet Sting's got money for nothing.
It's a Mark Knopfler song.
Sting's on it.
Is he?
Yeah.
All right.
I want my... That's him. Did you think that was me?
Yeah, I thought that was you.
No, mate, wasn't even involved in the record.
That is an uncanny impression, can I just say?
Do it again.
No, they say canny impression. Right, He's from Newcastle.
David Free.
That's uncanny, man. Everything they hate, it must be uncanny, right?
Yeah.
David Reed, you find £10,000 in your bank account. Do you give it back?
I'm a bit like Margaret in this. I'm feeling nervous that I immediately get it all out in cash, which never looks suspicious. And then they go, oh, we've done this. Can we have it back? And I go, oh, it's all pogs. if it was in the past, and you know,
might it be Star Wars Lego? There's a really massive Death Star that's on.
You can get a Millennium Falcon for £700.
Yeah. There's a Death Star that I've seen on eBay for £1,500.
No,
which
hang on,
is
hang
like...
on, because the Millennium Falcon is to scale with the little figures, right?
Yeah.
The Death Star to be the size of a moon.
It is huge.
So the little figures.
It's got over 10,000 pieces in it.
I mean, that's still not enough. We're talking a shopping centre.
So what would your advice be to this person then? Put it in a high interest bank account and wait for them to come knocking. David, would you put
now,
it under the bed?
How many people work at a loan retrieval company and how much does a hit on someone cost?
Oh,
so you'd rather kill them?
If I could, you know, spunk £3,000 on killing them all, I've got £7,000.
I would love to spunk £3,000.
A literal money shot.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. We know what that means.
Bill, Ben, is anybody close to the real advice the agony aunt gave?
Well, I think Margaret's natural fear has got her a point here, because this advice comes from the New York Times advice column, which says, yes, do inquire with a loan collector. You could discover that the credit was intentional and you're entitled to it guilt-free. So point to Margaret for being honest, really. Worst case, you owe exactly what you thought you owed, but it's wrong to take advantage of what you believe to be an error. Despite that slightly worrying observation that you're hesitant to get in touch with the loan collector for obvious reasons, you're writing in because you're troubled by the situation you find yourself in. You're basically an honest person. Best to stay that way. So, point to Margaret.
That's terrible advice.
Yeah. So, now you've learnt how an agony aunt does it, let's see you deal with some problems from tonight's audience. Is Paul here? Paul with the wife of 11 years.
Yes.
Paul's problem is my wife of 11 years.
Is your wife here?
No, she's not.
No, she's 11.
Good. No, that's not what that means. That's not what it means.
She was such a pretty egg. My wife...
The man is a brave paedophile. Welcome him.
Paul says, my wife of 11 years still thinks I'm descended from royalty. Should I break... How should I break it to her that I'm not? Paul.
That is fucking amazing. That is fucking amazing. I'm not kidding you. I fully admit this is a dick move. But when I was like a teenager and I tried to woo ladies, I sometimes pretended that I wrote poems, but there were actually song lyrics. Genuinely, some women thought I was in Depeche Mode or whatever. But you have said you're a member of royalty?
Yeah, slightly.
Slightly? How slightly?
So, I was probably a bit drunk and...
Really?
I said I'm descended from it's actually a Polish general who's mentioned in the national anthem.
That's a good lie.
Our national anthem.
No, the Polish one. But okay.
I don't remember the Polish generals that we sing about.
Well, I only ever hear the first verse. verse. So.
Yeah, there's a whole fourth verse about kicking the shit out of a Polish general where the queen sets her corgis on him and everything.
So you told her that you were descended from a Polish general?
Yes.
And then
she married
How far
you.
Into the relationship was this?
That's quite early on.
First date.
A few months in. No.
God, she was only a few months old. She probably won't remember.
Are you Polish?
My grandpa was.
General Granddad.
I, for a long time, thought and so told people that I was related to Ruth Ellis, the last woman to be hanged. And I read my grandfather's very boring memoir, and it turns out I'm actually related to her victim's stepfather's accountant. And my husband was with me when I found out, and we both found it so fucking funny that it was all right.
Do you think if you told her the truth, she would divorce you?
I think I'd probably have to do a bit more than that to tell you the truth, but you never know.
You sound like you'd quite like that. So maybe that's the answer.
Fingers crossed.
You sound like, no, I'll have to do a bit more fucking hard work.
I think you should both find out at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's actually really good.
Yeah, so investigate it. Yeah.
Send yourself a letter.
No, this is not good. Yeah. This is not good.
From somewhere that you've clearly never been.
Yeah.
Darling, let's not watch Netflix tonight. Why don't we just Google something? Just together for once. Let's Google something.
One letter from me.
No, not that one. Not that letter.
You could always get one of those 23andMe DNA testing kits and go and get someone else to do it and then go, Jesus, I'm not even a member of my own family.
Oh, I'm only 3% general.
Yeah. Is it a thing that she's really proud of?
No, I don't think so.
No. I was going to say, because if she is, just let her die thinking that's the truth.
Of natural
leave
causes.
Leave her in the garden for the fox to get her.
There are lots of foxes around here. Yeah.
She's only young. She won't be able to run that fast.
Is she a fan of podcasts?
Yeah, she is. Big
well,
fan of podcasts.
Just put this on in the background. It's like, oh, what's...
Unless she then listens to it and goes, hey, look, there's someone else who claimed to have been related to that general, and God.
My advice to you is just forget about it, don't tell her. Have you got any advice, David?
Just cover it up with a bigger lie. So, so say, oh, I found out that wasn't true, but I am now Pope, so...
Yeah. Oh, no, he's not related to me yet. Time traveller.
Paul, is there anybody you'd like to give points to? Has anybody been helpful?
I think the just ignore it bit was probably the best. And hope
what you've been
out.
Doing.
Points to me. Is Nelly here? Nelly's problem is this. I run a charity shop. How do I make my volunteers do as I say? They're old and set in their ways. Every time I ask them to do something, they nod and agree and then go back to doing the same shit job they did before. P.S. They are my only staff.
Do you feel better for having vented?
Yes.
I mean, old people are always claiming that they've been beaten, aren't they? So just beat them and no one will believe them. Oh, they beat me in that shop. No, they don't, Nan. Get back to work.
I mean, frankly. Done.
I'm not going to lie, that's crossed my mind.
Good.
How old are they?
70s, 80s.
Oh, that's really... Yeah. I mean, there's a reason they're not meant to have jobs at that age.
Yeah.
What's the charity?
I'd rather not say.
Yeah. Fair enough.
UKIP. It's full of all people that refuse to change.
How good would it be for you if they all died?
You
make people. Them work on Christmas Day and just leave the heating off. Right?
Nobody goes to a shop on Christmas Day.
Right, so
then
no
it's the
one
perfect crime.
Let a fox in close to the end of the day.
Maybe if you could find a really hot, sexy volunteer that does things the right way, and they might be inclined to follow them.
A Pied Piper of old people.
A hot, sexy volunteer for these 80-year-olds.
Yeah. Like
Robert Kilroy Silk. Yeah.
Dick Van Dyke walking in without a shirt.
Margaret, you're a kind person.
Yeah, I'm
Do you think she's being unreasonable?
No, I get it, but I'm...
You're just not into murder?
I've already killed Amanda Holton today.
Just, Where is she? Where is she?
The fox got her, mister.
Have you been, maybe you've been too much stick, not enough carrot. So give them some carrots.
Old people love carrots. No, not with their teeth. No.
Well, that's why you should kill them. No dental records, no teeth.
That's burning them.
It's natural causes.
Fire, the most natural cause of all.
Has anybody got any actual advice for Nelly?
Reward charts.
Yeah.
Elderly reward charts. For some reason, I'm thinking David Hasselhoff behind advent calendar doors.
Yeah, they sell enough stuff, they get their teeth back. Yeah.
And a naughty wheelchair for them to sit in if they're bad.
Like a sort of sexy, vibrating.
Nelly, has anybody been helpful?
I quite like the sexy Dick Van Dyke idea.
That's a good idea.
We all do.
Yes.
Ben, have you been keeping scores of that?
Yes.
What are the scores at the end of that round?
Well, the scores are Danielle Ward has one, Michael and Bethany have two, and Margaret and David have 3.5.
I am not a god, nor a book, nor a white man on Twitter, which is why sometimes I need to ask an expert. Ask. In this round, we bring an expert guest on to show up the panel's many failings as they try to work out how someone who knows what they're doing would react in some pertinent scenarios. Today, as we are in York, we're very pleased to welcome trained professional on loan from the Jorvik Centre is biking expert Chris Tuckley. Come on, Chris. A real Viking.
Is it true that the Vikings all went extinct because there were no Vi-queens?
Well, we don't think the Vikings died out. We think they are still among us, or at least their descendants are.
Like Jurassic Park, but with Vikings.
Absolutely.
Hang on a minute. Who? Right, so let me just say this and then we'll go back to the ground. Right, panel, in a moment, you're going to have to second guess what Chris would do in some Viking scenarios. But before that, you've got a chance to get to know him a bit better by asking him some questions. Tell him more about these Vikings that are still here. Who is this? Like Boris Becker?
I'm not sure about Boris Becker, but we know that Vikings certainly came to this part of the British Isles and they didn't go away. They settled down, became farmers and have remained here, essentially.
So farmers. And then eventually voted Brexit.
Quite.
The irony.
So you're saying that farmers are the nearest we have to Vikings?
I guess so, yes. Oh. I mean,
well, no, because they could have become farmers and then they could have given birth to... Non-farmers.
They design websites now, don't they? Yeah.
You're from York, you must love Vikings.
I know that sounds like a preposterous stereotype, but I really do. And for my 24th birthday, a friend of mine bought me a baseball cap that said, "I love Vikings." He had it custom made. Yeah, they're great.
And you get annoyed when people draw them with the hat, the
with
Viking
the hats.
Hats
on.
Yeah, you don't like it when people draw
the
hooves.
The hooves. Yeah.
Hooves.
Vikings are famous for having hooves on their helmet. Four hooves.
She's only moved here. Give her a minute.
Yeah, the Hagar, the horrible hats, they annoy me a bit.
Are they inaccurate, Chris?
Well, we've got no good reason for thinking that Vikings did wear horned helmets.
So where's that come from? Who invented it?
Well, I think it's in part based on misunderstanding of archaeological evidence. Certainly, horned headgear has been found by archaeologists, but it's not thought to belong to the Viking period necessarily.
So, like, if a Viking died next to his bull, that's how...
Or drinking horns, of course. If you're buried with drinking horns, then yeah, that could be interpreted as, yeah, as headgear.
Vikings die going,
You have a Viking drinking horn, don't you?
I do have a Viking. I have a Norwegian drinking horn. Yeah. Yes, I've got a Norwegian family.
Can you drink from it? They're quite
tricky
to drink from.
I've not tried yet. I don't know.
Okay. I've always got a drinking horn.
Right, this is the first scenario.
I've got a fucking question.
Oh, okay.
Fucking rude as that. I come up to your house all the fucking way and you go blank.
What's your question?
Sorry. Excuse me. Have Vikings ever gone walking on the moon? I'm asking for a joke.
I don't believe so, no. Although...
Fuck the podcast, mate. Yeah.
Space mission called Viking, I believe. I'm remembering rightly.
I bet,
very kind.
I bet Sting would like to go walking on the moon.
That was a giant step.
Yeah, guys, groans and rounds of applause. That's what you are.
Isn't Viking a verb? Viking is the act that they went off on.
They vike.
They viked. To vike.
Yes,
they were Viking.
Yep, it's an activity or a job description more than it is sort of an ethnic group
An ethnic
people.
Group, yeah. Yep.
It's something that Vikers would do.
He's Norwegian. Who is the most Viking? Is it the Swedes or the Norwegians?
Well,
or is it the Danes?
I think if you're thinking of the Vikings who came to this part of the world, it would tend to be the Danes and some Norwegians, and the Swedish Vikings, known as the Rus, tended to head east, and that's where we get the word Russia from.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm not kidding you. How many Do the Right Things have we done? Four, maybe? And this is the only one where I've actually learned things.
Here is scenario number one. It's the year 952 and Chris is a powerful and wealthy Viking who has just defended the fearsome king of Northumbria, Eric Bloodaxe, and his lovely wife, Gunhild, by carelessly killing their son. Oops! That's not the name of the son. Right. But even more oops, the boat he's trying to flee on is shipwrecked pretty much as soon as he sets sail, so without any means of escape, Viking Chris decides to seek an audience with King Eric in York. But what would Viking Chris do in this situation to save his skin? So, he's killed the king's son, and now he's going for an audience with him.
I think in order to stop cycles of vengeance that were quite common in the past...
But not now.
We got rid of those in 1998.
That's right. Girl power. I think there were pretty set rates for how many oxen or sheep you owed if you killed somebody's son.
Oh.
Do you know what the rates?
Yes. So... no, I don't know how many oxen you owe.
I reckon like 100 sheep. That's
100 sheep?
For a kid?
For a kid, yeah.
How old's the
fucking
kid?
Sheep?
Yeah.
Sheep are lovely.
Yeah, I know sheep are lovely and kids are
fucking...
Kids are fucking horrible and sticky. And
how much wool do you get from a kid? Go on.
Well, actually.
Well, Michael, let's take it back to the 80s.
Love it.
Protestant kills one of yours. How many sheep do you kill?
Oh, sorry. God, I really... See, now I understand the problem. I meant... Catholic sheep.
Oh, okay.
Protestant sheep are scum and they should be burnt to fucking death. All of them. Oh, did you mean 100 Protestant sheep? Fucking have 200, mate. Hate Protestant sheep. They're fucking far apart eyes, little cunts.
Storing
fucking
their toasters in
wandering
cupboards.
Off into areas that they know they're not allowed into.
Michael.
I've every right to bleat in this area. No, you don't!
Wandering around with a little bowler hats on.
Michael,
yes.
What do you think Viking Chris would do in this situation, having killed the son of the king?
Well, probably some sort of... Like, when I'm saying a party, I don't mean like, yeah, fuck you, your son's dead party. But it'll be some bonding of the two communities and a big old sorry and a sad face. And 200 Protestant sheep.
Margaret, what do you think Viking Chris...
It is hard to imagine Chris as a Viking. He seems like
really?
I mean, you know, he's got a lovely iron shirt and, you know...
An iron shirt?
Iron shirt.
He could be like, you know, that cool priest.
Yes.
Don't even call me father. You know, I'm Rick. You know, you could be that guy, but the Viking version. Sure, I'll kill you, but it really is Sven.
Chris is writing something down, and I think it's
I
fuck
think
Michael.
Close, yeah. Chris, is anybody close? What would you do in this situation?
Yes, I think Michael's getting close to the answer because the situation mirrors very closely the situation that a warrior poet called Egil Skallagrimsson found himself in here in York. He'd been involved in a very bloody feud with King Eric Bloodaxe, who was a king of Norway, but who ended up ruling here in York. And he was shipwrecked in the Humber Estuary. And he didn't think he'd be able to get away, so he ended up coming to York and presenting himself at the king's court to try and seek forgiveness. And a deal was made whereby Egil had to go away and in just one night compose a praise poem in praise of Eric Bloodaxe. And then the next morning he had to come and present his piece of poetry, and it had to be good enough and it had to speak highly enough of the king that he would be spared. And of course, Vikings valued this idea of being commemorated in poetry because that would give them a kind of immortality. Long story short, Egil managed to compose the poem, came in the next morning, performed the poem, which has been remembered as the Head Ransom poem because he saved his head by this poem. And he was allowed to go free on condition that he never crossed paths with Eric Bloodaxe or Gunhild again.
Wow. No,
that's absolutely what I would do if somebody killed my kid.
I'll be honest, I've never heard a poem.
Just give me a poem, it's fine.
I'm so sorry I killed your son. I eat my peas with honey. I've done it all my life. It makes them taste quite funny, but it keeps them on the knife.
I've never listened to anyone recite a poem that hasn't ended with me wanting to kill them, so I have no idea how that worked.
Scenario number two. So, having won his freedom from Eric Bloodaxe, Viking Chris gets to live another day, but carelessly on his journey back home to see his family, he slips on an anachronistic banana skin, falls into a ravine, and dies instantly. Luckily, he left his wife specific details about what arrangements to make for his funeral. What instructions would Viking Chris have given in this situation?
Burn some Protestant sheep. On a boat with an arrow.
Yeah, that's the classic one, isn't it? I mean, they're going to go on... It'd be terrible to be a Viking and go, I don't want to have a Viking funeral. Because
I don't want any fuss.
And also, surely if you're a Viking, it's just called a funeral.
I'm a humanist.
Yeah.
What's your idea of a Viking funeral?
First, you get a dead guy.
Yeah.
Or woman. Jesus Christ. Fucking hell, you can say nothing these days. And, all right, we get a dead woman. Far better. Now. And you put them on a boat that you don't want anymore. And don't you set fire to it if I dreamt that?
Put some drinking horns with them.
Drinking horns.
One of those helmets with the hooves on.
Yeah. And set fire to the bastard. Right.
Margaret, would you like a Viking funeral?
Yeah, I'm only human.
Rather than a Catholic one. Are you allowed a Viking funeral?
I think there were Catholic Vikings. Come on. They've been around forever.
You want a Viking funeral, don't you, Dave?
I want to be burnt in a boat every day. But I think that's quite posh, isn't it, being burnt in a boat? You'd have to have a boat.
No, but he's mates with the king now since that fucking poem.
I don't think he's mates with the king.
Not only has he killed the king's son, he wants to borrow a boat that he's not going to give back. I don't know. I think some Vikings were buried with their stuff. They could be buried in their boat with their... really mean. With all of their armour and jewels and everything their kids were really hoping they could have.
And their wives.
And their horses and their fucking dogs.
Did they bury them with the pets?
These are just books I read when I was seven that I'm vaguely remembering. They're probably all very out of date, but even slaves and people would be slaughtered next to them is what I remember reading, but it might not be true. I don't know.
Was that the Egyptians?
No, it wasn't. But I don't
think... Fight!
Michael, how would you like to be disposed of? Have you ever thought about your own funeral?
Yeah.
And
seems really good too.
Are we invited?
God, definitely. I want everyone that I love to be there. Aww. And have a really good time.
Can we set foxes on you?
Yeah. I'm vegan, mate. I am now theirs. I want the animal kingdom to devour me in front of everyone that gives a shit about me. Hopefully I will die before my parents so that you will live to see their child eaten.
And this is Michael. He's an ant farm now.
Yeah.
Yeah, all those people who say, oh, I want it to be a celebration of my life and I want everyone to be happy. They're not going to be. You're dead. Like, if they cared about you, they're going to be really upset. And so at mine, I want everyone in black. I want everyone complaining. I want professional mourners. I want people beating their chests and throwing themselves on the coffin.
You know how to make them complain? Don't put a spread on afterwards.
Yeah. Whenever there was a funeral on at his local church, my uncle would go down for the free sandwiches, even though he didn't know them.
But your uncle...
And he's a millionaire.
He's genuinely a millionaire, yeah. And for ages his toilet in his flat didn't work,
so he went to the local pub for 2 years.
Chris, what would you do in this situation?
Well, it's interesting that we've had the idea of burning, cremation. There's not a great deal of evidence for boat burnings on water in the Viking period, because for obvious reasons that wouldn't leave much of an archaeological trace. Yeah.
And it's also really difficult to get them lit when they're wet.
Exactly. It's not a practical measure for getting rid of a body. However, burning on a pyre would have been one of the methods for your funeral if you were a pagan Viking, so before you converted to Christianity. I found it interesting, the idea of Margaret's Catholic funeral, because certainly here in York...
Don't threaten me.
When the Vikings had settled down, then they converted to Christianity fairly swiftly. And so they were buried in some of the existing Christian cemeteries here in York. David had some great ideas about burial with grave goods. And
that wasn't his idea. He read it in a book.
That's okay.
I just want to be buried with my Xbox guy.
So, again, we think that during the conversion process, probably the Vikings were hedging their bets somewhat, and they might have carried on worshipping their Norse gods and also being buried with some of their grave goods, which, as a Christian, I can check this with Margaret, you don't need to be buried with anything for the afterlife as a Christian.
No, that would be silly. The rest of it...
Buried only with your secrets.
Also, I think a point for David mentioning sacrifice, the...
Elton John song.
Always played at a Viking funeral.
They were all candles in the wind to him.
There is evidence certainly for animal sacrifice, particularly horses, for whatever reason in the Viking period. Their remains have turned up in Viking burials. And also some suggestion that human sacrifice occasionally went on as well.
After both those questions, who are you going to give points to?
Well, I think Michael deserves a point for the fire, certainly. Oh, and also for mentioning the party
You're all invited.
Resolution for scenario one.
He's only angling for an invite to Michael's funeral.
We all want to make sure it happens.
And I think one each for the other contestants, because there were some really good suggestions for...
It's like a generation game one.
Preparation.
It's really kind.
No one's ever made notes seriously.
You've got to do it right.
And before you leave us, Chris, is there anything you would like to plug?
Yes, I would like to invite people to visit the Jorvik Viking Centre here in York. If you haven't done already, why not make your way over there? It's a fantastic reconstruction of York as it might have been in the 10th century.
Does it still smell weird?
Yes. Yeah.
Very proud of that.
Yeah. Is it asparagus?
How do you know what it smelt like in the 10th century?
Well, during the excavations, the archaeological digs that happened in York in the 70s and 80s and found the remains of the Viking city...
It
smelt.
Oh.
You've also got the biggest Viking poo in the world there,
That's
haven't you?
That's true, yes. We've got the Lloyds Bank turd, which is the... it's a mineralised human poo from the Viking era. And it's big, it really is.
And that's what Lloyd's Bank is named after.
Exactly.
Interesting mascot.
Thank you to Viking expert Chris Tuckley.
Thank you.
Oh, a plug for the Jorvik Viking Centre. While we're at it, is there anything you would like to plug, Bethany?
No.
Okay. David Reed, you want to plug your podcast?
I do. It's called Inside the Comedian. Thank you, one man.
And an owl.
It's really big in the owl community.
It's huge in the owl community.
He does turn heads.
Well, you know what? Before we hit the final round, let's see what the scores are. Producer Ben.
Michael and Bethany have 5. Margaret and David have 6.5.
Oh. Oh.
But it's close.
It's close.
Close.
Just like Theresa May in any situation, we're about to do the wrong thing.
Do the wrong thing! Do the wrong thing! Do the wrong thing!
By the time it goes out, you'll have forgotten who she is. In this final round, I want the panellists to tell me what is the wrongest thing to do in any given situation. The winner gets eggs with which to make their world-famous Eggy-Aid. The round ends when producer Ben plumps. You're sent to prison for a crime you didn't commit. What is the wrong thing to do?
Commit a bigger crime, just out of spite.
Admit to lots of other crimes that you also didn't do.
Yeah. Amazon won't stop sending you bricks. What's the wrong thing to do?
Add them to the pile of bricks that my next door neighbour is using to build an extension so that they eventually build a fucking massive tower. I thought this
through. Throw the brick through the window of a local shop.
Screw the high street.
Your flies are undone. What's the wrong thing to do?
Fill them with molten lava.
Request extra air miles.
Charge admission.
The angel Uriel warns of an impending flood that will envelop the earth. What is the wrong thing to do?
Oh, just piss.
Build an ark out of all of those bricks that you got sent by Amazon.
Just keep fucking negotiating Brexit.
Your car breaks down at a drive-through Costa. What is the wrong thing to do?
Just give up and move there.
You're having a lovely dream you never want to end. What is the wrong thing to do?
Go to Dignitas and hope it all starts up again.
A stranger tells you to smile. What is the wrong thing to do?
Smile.
Seduce them.
Hold them tightly by the face until you die of natural causes.
Say, shut up, Sting.
Vikings. So that's the end of the show, but before
that was
we have.
Really realistic.
Yeah, that's what happened all those years ago.
Honestly,
that's exactly what happened. No one knew about a Viking invasion until the producer pressed the horn. So at the end of that raid, who got the points?
So, that's the end of the show, but before we have a rub down with a rough towel, producer Ben, what are the final scores?
The final scores are that Michael and Bethany have 9, Margaret and Dave have 10.5.
Yeah. Oh, well done to Margaret and David Reed. Thanks for listening. Goodbye. Do the right thing. Bethany Black, David Reed, Margaret Cable Smith, Michael Lake, Viking expert Chris Tuckley, and me, Danielle Ward. My advisor is producer Ben Walker. And we put the script together alone. Martin White did the music. That's the question in York for having us, and to Al Briggs and Bernie Duck Comedy for helping out. Do the Right Thing is a Fuzz production for the internet. Thank you, York.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.